Welcome to The Crucible, where the Southern African Institute of Mining and Metallurgy gives you a front row seat to conversations with specialists in the minerals and metals sector. SIAM has well over 100 years' experience in and commitment to protecting the professional standards of our industry. Join us now as we discuss the key issues and global initiatives to give you the relevant information needed to make informed decisions, to influence policy that directly affects our sector, and to help our industry grow in an uncertain future.
Welcome, everybody. This is The Crucible, a podcast of the Southern African Institute of Mining and Metallurgy, and this gives you a front row seat to conversations with specialists in the minerals and metals sector. So the Southern African Institute of Mining and Metallurgy has well over 100 years' experience in and commitment to protecting the professional standards of our industry. Today's topic is tailings. How do we ensure we are doing it right? I'm the moderator for today. My name is Dr. Kim Morton. I'm a member of the Southern African Institute of Mining and Metallurgy's Tailings Steering Committee and of the 2026 SAIMM Tailings Conference Organizing Committee. So the topic is of great interest to me as I've had long advocacy in the monitoring of tailings storage facilities. The SAIMM are very actively involved in tailings management. We've set up this podcast to raise awareness of the work being done by the SAIMM. As you know, the SAIMM stands for Southern African Institute of Mining and Metallurgy, that includes most of the SADC countries and has members from very active mining countries such as the Democratic Republic of Congo, Angola, Mozambique, Zambia, and many others. And of course, all of these countries have active and heritage tailings storage facilities, TSFs is the acronym, and all are critical to the health of the industry. So the conversation today aims to explore some of the key aspects of tailings management faced by mining companies and geotechnical engineers. Tailings management has been brought into sharp focus over the last few years, particularly in environmental and social governance, that's ESG frameworks, since the horrific fatalities caused by the Brumadinho dam failure in 2019. So since then, investors worldwide have been interrogating mining companies on their tailings management practices and asking, how safe are they? Safety has now been quantified through the use of more detailed monitoring of cause and effect. The improved management of tailings has been formalized by the issue of the Global Industry Standard on Tailings Management, known as the GISTM, that's been issued by the United Nations Environmental Programme, the International Committee for Mining and Metallurgy, the ICMM, and the Principles for Responsible Investment, including the investment arm of the Church of England, who've been very active in that they wrote to over 1,000 of their companies that they're invested in saying, what are you doing to make tailings safer? So the GISTM has been adopted by many leading mining houses and has become the recognised standard for all mining companies worldwide to aspire to. The discussion today will acknowledge its impact on the industry, and each panellist will contribute their thoughts to how tailings management has improved and is still being improved. So today we have with us Justin Walls of Stephan Robertson & Kirsten, now known as SRK, representing the consulting interest. And we have Simone Maharaj representing tailings ownings as the geotechnical specialist at Impala Platinum, and Alistair Bobbin representing Insight Terra, an international monitoring and data management company based in Cape Town. So we're going to start off by introducing everybody, and they're going to introduce themselves. I've already mentioned my name is Dr. Kim Morton. I have 44 years experience in mining. My particular speciality is water and mining, and I've been representing South Africa on various tailings committees around the world, including the Global Action on Tailings, the Global Mining Professionals Committee, and also have been giving input to the GISTM since its inception. So we're going to start off with you, Justin. Would you like to introduce yourself, your qualifications, background, and your particular interest in tailings?
Hi, Kim. Justin Walls here. I'm an associate partner and professional civil environmental engineer at SRK Consulting. I spent the first dozen or so years of my career designing, constructing, operating tailings dams. And then after covering quite a few hectares in tailings, my conscience kicked in and I moved more into the mine closure side of of tailings, focusing on the engineering closure design side. And since then, I've been as part of a few closure teams. So I see myself as a recovering tailings engineer.
Thank you. That's very interesting. Which particular tailings dams have you worked on that we know about?
Well, at this point in time, there are quite a few of them. I'm not sure how many of them are public knowledge, but I've worked on closure projects, South Africa, Zimbabwe, France, Ghana, Namibia, probably forgetting one somewhere along the lines there.
So that's great that you're now in closure, but you've also got operating experience. That's very useful. And Simone, could you now introduce yourself, your qualifications, background, and your interest in tailings?
Yes, thanks, Kim. Simone Maharaj. I have about 10 years' experience in the tailings space as a tailings engineer and consulting. I was previously with Golder Associates, where I was involved in EOR projects as well as design projects, and have been working since the start of the GISDM to have Impala Platinum operations become compliant to that. Previously, my specialist area of practice was dam break analysis for tailings when I was in my consulting role. And since moving to Impala Platinum, I have been overseeing their roadmap to compliance with GISDM.
That's very interesting, Simone. Approximately how many TSFs are under Impala's control now?
I think we have about 12 and two dormant ones.
Oh, that's super. That's quite a broad range. I'm familiar with the ones in the Rustenburg area.
Yeah, so that's 12 over three countries, South Africa, Zimbabwe, and then our one operating mine in Canada.
That's a great breadth. Thank you. So now we get to the third musketeer on the panel, Alistair Bobbin, who we've been working with for many years. Alistair, would you like to introduce yourself?
Thanks, Kim. Alistair Bobbin, co-founder and CEO of Insight Terra. My background is a systems engineer in the data and IT world. And my involvement first started in tailings dams back in 2009, where we helped Fraser Alexander with some remote communications to get data off some tailing dams. And in the last 8 years, I've been involved in various tailing dams monitoring projects in Mexico, South America, and South Africa, Angola, and Zimbabwe. So, and my speciality is bringing all the data together and making sense of the data.
That's very useful, Alistair. Thank you. And which countries do you work in mostly?
At the moment, mostly Southern Africa, but we are expanding into North America, South America quite rapidly with lots of requirements coming from that area of the world.
That's marvellous, driving Southern African expertise worldwide. That's always great to hear. So the way we've structured this podcast is we've got two questions for each of you, and then after that, we should have some topics that we can discuss in a round. So I'm going to kick off with ladies first. Simone, what are the key practices Impala Platinum are applying to ensure their tailings are accurately managed, and are there any recent innovations that Impala has implied?
So, of course, as we've mentioned, the GISDM has been a rather large change in the industry in the last few years. So implementing that as our primary guideline and incorporating that into our Implats tailing standard has been the major change that we've seen. In addition to that, I think going back to basics and saying that ensuring our documentation is of the correct standard and quality, because we see that the GISDM requires certain documents, but it doesn't say the standard or contents in a comprehensive way. So we have found that ensuring that our documentation is of a quality and standard where it's actually adding value to the management operation, understanding of the design is very important. And then to add on to that is the training and level of knowledge of the people managing the TSFs, providing a very high quality training and education so that those people's understanding reaches to comprehending the drivers and the mechanisms of the functioning and the stability of the dams, so that they have insight into why they are doing certain things, not only just how to do those things. And then lastly, multiple levels of assurance. So we, of course, have our engineer of records, who are our outside specialist consultants and tailings, as well as our internal responsible tailings facility engineers that are appointed for each of our facilities. And then a layer above that is our third-party reviewers, who provide oversight to the daily technical inputs that the EOR and the RTFE are in control of. And then lastly, we have an annual review by an independent tailings review board, who come in and look at a high-level overview of the operations. And they are basically there to identify potential high-consequence but low-probability occurrences on our tailings facilities. So that's really how we look at implementing the GISTM and getting the most out of that framework and that guideline. In terms of some recent innovations, on the monitoring side, we've implemented high-resolution drone flights over our Rustenburg TSF. Has been very informative to see that and get that information on a monthly basis. It just gives a little bit more control and oversight of our facility. In addition to that, we also have a live monitoring system on that facility. That system uses beacons and the difference between the current position. So it actually gives us every 30 seconds a reading of if there is any change in movement on any of the flanks of the dam, which is very, very useful, especially if there were to be any movement. That gives us a very early warning of any actions we need to take. We also have remote control vehicles that go inside our penstock outlets. We don't allow man access to inspect our pipes, so that has been wonderful to not put that risk in and actually still have that inspection being done. And then at our Marula mine, we have implemented bioremediation of groundwater, which has been quite innovative. The tailings dam in that operation has had a plume emanating from it because it's a legacy tailings dam without a basal liner. So we've gone ahead and done some research and actually implemented bioremediation into our groundwater boreholes to mop up the plume coming out of there.
What I was trying to get at with the question was innovation in prevention of failure. So you've mentioned innovation with the drones and with the remote vehicles and bioremediation cleaning up a plume. But is there anything that Impala's looking at that actually reduces the triggers, actually drops the pressure of water in the pond or drops the pressure in the slopes themselves? And as a geotech, I'm sure you've done quite a bit of modelling of the slopes. And the reason I mention that is one of my big drivers is stopping this move, well, not stopping, but moving the focus away from monitoring movement to actually monitoring the causes of failure. In other words, measure the weight of water in the slopes or the water levels in the pond and start saying, guys, it's no good measuring movement. That's too late. The dam's going to move. You're just measuring how fast it's going to move. Let's rather measure the weight of the water, what actually causes the failure in the first place. So that's what really gets me excited is, have you had any innovations at Impala on preventing failure by setting triggers or setting levels and observing the rate at which those triggers are reached, and how would you prevent failure? Could you give us a bit of explanation on your expertise there?
Yes. So I think our primary tool in that space is then our dynamic water balances. We set the water balances so that the amount of water going to the dam is obviously minimized as far as possible. And then we do set our triggers for our freeboard levels very low. So we try and, as far as possible, maintain as small as possible pool on the dam while still allowing proper operation and decanting, because of course you have to maintain with our traditional penstocks a certain water height to allow proper settlement of that tailings material so that we're not decanting and silting up our return water dams. Having said that, the dynamic water balance that minimizes the amount of water that's going to the dam is also a function of our look into climate change. And we've seen that with climate change, the water supply that we are acquiring from outside sources has increased simply because the length of our dry seasons has increased and also the heat over those dry seasons. So the loss and evaporation we have been seeing has been going up, and this is something we do want to minimize. And so by minimizing the surface area of the pools on top of our TSFs, we are looking at minimizing the amount of evaporation as well. So that's helping in a twofold way. It's minimizing the amount of seepage into the tailings mass itself, as well as minimizing the amount of makeup water that we would need to bring in from outside because of losses through evaporation.
Thank you. And what about slope stability? Have you been able to apply any innovation in your modeling of slope stability to incorporate pore pressures?
Yes, of course. So we do, in our drive to be GISTM conformant, we have relooked at all of our slope stabilities across all of the tailings facilities in the group. Of course, implementing all of the loading conditions that we need to look at, as well as looking at a brittleness assessment for our foundations, because we did find that all of our foundations are sitting on, all of our tailings are sitting on clay foundations. So we've implemented quite an intense geotechnical investigation program across our group, as well as modeling, and we're looking at deformation analysis, and our consultants are SRK, and in particular, they are, I think, leading the industry at the moment in terms of their expertise in this space of the stability assessments and modeling and the deformation modeling and the brittleness assessments of the foundations.
Thank you very much. That's interesting. We'll get to the innovations through Justin shortly. But the second question I had for you is with regards to the GISTM, and you've already touched on it, how does that guide Impala, and which of your TSFs are you particularly proud of in terms of compliance and risk reduction?
So as I said, we have incorporated the GISTM into our tailing standard. So it's become basically our guideline in conjunction with the requirements of the SAN standard, which we know is still in draft, but we are awaiting that finalization before updating our standard to incorporate the final SANs standard as well. That is basically how we've used the GISTM to guide ourselves, and as well as what I said is it's very important that if the GISTM states a certain document, that that document is actually populated with information that adds value. In terms of our facilities, I think we have to mention our flagship dam at Rustenburg. It is one of, we found out recently, it's one of the top five largest man-made structures in the world. And earlier this year, we were actually visited by Adam Matthews, who is the Chief Responsible Investment Officer of the Church of England Pensions Board. And he was very impressed with what he saw at the Rustenburg Dam. He said basically that this is how upstream dams should be run. And it's an example of how upstream dams can be safe, despite the sort of outlook from some other regions of the world that consider upstream dams very dangerous inherently. Yes, I have to say that that in particular, that dam is very well run, very well managed. We have a great team there.
And that's very, very useful. Thank you. And yes, I agree. I'm very familiar with the Rustenburg Dam, and I'm delighted that Adam saw it. I mean, obviously, being in a flat area, you have a huge advantage to start off with there. But again, being one of the five biggest in the world is also an enormous challenge. And again, I'm delighted Adam was happy, because again, it's waving the flag for South African expertise and excellence around the world. So thank you very much, Simone. And we're going to get back to a round table once we've got through everyone's specific questions. And so now I'm moving on to Justin. And the question is, as a consultant, how do you encourage your clients to improve the management of their tailings? Which works best, carrot or stick?
Well, Kim, we're quite lucky that we have clients that are very proactive. They want to be following best practice. They want to conform to the guidelines. So as a general rule of thumb, we don't need to wave any sticks around. We might need to guide in terms of how we understand best practice or how we understand implementation of best practice. And generally, that's enough to provide examples from other regions, from other clients, from other commodities. And then they generally get on board and want to do it. They provide funding for it. We look at things, whether it's the data side of it, the modeling side, the lab testing, whatever it is, pulling in other experts for it. So we're very lucky in that regard.
How do you handle the constant problem in budget? How do you offset the extra cost with the reduction in risk? Do you have a model that you use for that, or is it on a case-by-case basis? How do you tackle that problem?
I think that really has to be a client-by-client, project-by-project, TSF-by-TSF case, with them all being unique. As Simone mentioned, we work on, we help out a little bit with the Impala Rustenburg Dam, which, as Simone pointed out, is one of the largest structures in the world. So that's a very different entity to maybe a TSF that's, say, 60 hectares in size. So we would come down to find the most efficient way to do it. Yes, it's especially when it's not our checkbook, we can't always dictate exactly how things go, but we provide guidance and we look for the best solution to still ensure that the facility is safe, well-run, compliant with their own tailings management standards, compliant with whichever the relevant best practice guidelines are or other ones they've signed up to, for example, the GISTM.
Okay, so that's a case-by-case approach that often has to work, and that obviously depends on a lot of trust between the consultant and the client as well.
Yes, and we've got quite long histories with most of our clients, so it's easier to have that discussion. And even these days when it's a lot of meetings and interactions are held virtually, we would then look to have those face-to-face, whether we go to the client or the client comes to us or we meet on site. And we have that honest discussion of, well, if this is what your budget is, this is what we can do with it. We're not going to pretend and promise the world if we can't afford to do it.
Yes, that's very critical, open and honest discussion. And then, as you know, I've started with Simone saying, what innovations have Impala applied? And she emphasized basically document control and improved training and getting staff to understand why they're doing what they do. In other words, devolving down responsibility. So that's a very interesting innovation. And then when I asked her about specific innovations in the physical space, she passed the buck to you and she said, well, that's what our consultants will be helping us with. So my next question to you is, what innovations have you seen that significantly improve the management of tailings? And that must include reduction of risk.
Very much so. So the first priority is we need the facility safe. We can have the best written report. The facility is not actually physically safe. You haven't really checked the box. So we feel a lot of it comes down to the data management side of it, whether that's collecting data, processing data, analyzing data, or having systems in place to report on or flag any concerns with what's there, whether it's a concern of the quality of data or what the data is actually telling you, more concerningly, something's moving that shouldn't be moving or something's too wet that shouldn't be wet. So we're moving in a direction with a lot of focus on, we've got a very strong data management team, data services. They put a lot of work into programming in the background. They are looking into machine learning, pulling in AI where possible and feasible to look at it. Obviously not solely relying on an entity that can't make judgment calls, or necessarily maybe it hasn't been fully programmed or told what to look out for, what not to look for. So there's still a human element to it. Linked to that, building digital twins, because it's one thing where you run a
stability model or a water balance model or whatever it is, but if you can have a digital twin to then assess different scenarios, what if the TSF was 10 meters higher? What if the outer slope changed? What if we found something in the foundation? What would be going there? Water management, as you rightly pointed out, Kim, a lot to do with the stability of a tailings dam and the safety of a tailings dam comes down to water. And whether it's water sitting on top or inside or underneath or falling on the surface, water's a big part of it. So looking at the water management systems, it's very important. Some of the mining houses have put a lot of money and effort into research and development, into depositing dry, or at least not really wet, tailings there. That then improves the water recovery significantly and has the potential to improve the stability of the facility in itself. There are the advancements in the geotechnical side of it. I'm not going to pretend to be a geotechnical expert, but I've seen a lot of advancements in the last few years on how to do investigations, the equipment available to do it, having rigs that can go out and do lab testing on the facility or immediately next to the facility, the laboratory testing that's continually improving and advancing. We ourselves, our department, have actually bought a triaxial machine that we are going to use not for commercial use, but just to learn from, play with, understand the real nitty-gritty side of it, and the modeling side, the geotechnical modeling side. Part of that in terms of advancements in understanding in the industry and partly down to processing power and what computers can do these days is phenomenal. The other thing that we find helps a lot are the planning tools. And whether that's to develop your plan or to illustrate your plan. So, for example, Simone mentioned the dam break assessments or DBAs. They're very useful to explain to community where a facility might go if it were to fail, not the likelihood of failure, but where it might go. So then we can explain to a community, in the event of a failure, this is what might happen, and then you can put appropriate emergency response plans or trigger action plans in place. Landform evolution modeling is very useful when you're looking at the water erosion side of things to understand how your newly in terms of geological timeline, geometric mountain has been constructed. How's it going to perform? How's it going to last? Is it going to last? Part of it then putting in the appropriate erosion protection measures. Virtual or augmented reality tools can be a great help with understanding and explaining what you want to do, how you want to do it. Now, whether that's purely virtual or digital, or using the augmented reality side to then stand on site and explain what could be there, what is this mountain going to look like that we're building. And then 3D printing. We find extremely useful to have a physical TSF or a physical catchment printed out in front of you. Because then you can point, touch, hands-on of your little tailings dam in the context of the size of the table to explain what it might look like, what might happen, what if we do this, what if we do that. You can also have initial tailings dam, and then you can clip another piece on top, and I've got a toilet tailings dam, and clip another piece on top, and look, that's how the facility goes up. And we find that often being able to properly explain goes a long way and get buy-in from client, people on site, local community, regulators, goes a long way in explaining what you want to do and then getting constructive input that you can take on board moving forward.
Thank you. That's a whole bunch of innovations. You've obviously put a lot of thought into this. Thank you very much. I think the 3D printing really goes back to the early days when I started in mining, where we'd actually build the models out of balsa wood.
With the contours, 3D yes. Printing. Yeah.
I think 3D printing is probably a lot easier. And that's exciting that all of those are working towards making things safer. And I think very importantly, you highlighted the need for data management and accurate data use, as well as its input to AI, which, as you know, is a very dangerous tool in the wrong hands. So I think this leads us very nicely into the questions for Alistair. And I do know that InsightTerra have been working very closely with SRK on a number of TSFs. So, Alistair, our initial question for you is, what is the most important and innovative aspect of monitoring?
Thanks, Kim. Well, I'd like to lead from Simone's answer about quality and quality documentation, but really in the context of monitoring, it's really around the quality of the instrumentation, the quality of the installation, and importantly, the quality of the documentation around the installation and the methods. Because if you don't have the context of the installation, then the data quality is poor. So that whole process of instrumentation, installation, QA, QC processes are really critical for the engineers to have trust and confidence in the data and for the data to be contextualized in the right manner. So, for example, if you don't have the tip elevation depth of your piezometer correct, then your data is useless. So I think I really agree with Simone's focus on quality management. The other piece really is monitoring is all about action. So you have to tie it into the response plans. And I feel that really granular response plans are required, right? You have to get it down to detail. If there's something happening at the toe that maybe is a higher risk, it might require a different response plan. And getting the right information to the right people at the right time is a critical component. And doing that in real time, analyzing data in real time, and automating that process so that engineers can have the right information quickly and they can start becoming proactive in their response plans. And that's where you start doing the AI and the machine learning and the statistical analysis so you can start forecasting. Rather than getting an alert, rather you can actually have a forecast or trend that you might be approaching a warning limit so that you can be far more proactive in preventing failure.
I think you hit the nail on the head. Forecasting is critical. And of course, with the modeling as well, there's a number of forecasts that could be predicted and then simulated. So that's a very exciting space to be working in terms of data management. And I think, Alistair, you noticed that Simone mentioned several times document management. How does your company ensure that all the documents are in order and accessible and up to date?
Well, from a data management perspective, we like to make sure, for example, documents like calibration certificates are linked to the actual instrument, or as Justin referred to, virtual twins or virtual devices. So we try and link the documentation, the installation records to the data objects so that there's a history. I think the other challenge is tailings dams are construction sites. They're evolving. Things are breaking. Things are changing, and they have to be maintained. And instruments sometimes have to be swapped. So ensuring the change management is part of the process is key. Technology, people, and process have to work together. And GISTM refers strongly to change management, and we feel strongly that documentation and change management has to be part of the system to ensure trust and confidence in the monitoring.
Thank you. What about the documents for regulatory compliance? I know that, and Simone must know this, that there's a huge amount of paperwork going into everyday management of a TSF. How would your systems manage the pile of documents and the different regulatory authorities and the government requirements and the engineer of records requirements? What's the best way to manage those documents?
So our platform is really about data management, but any platform that provides an open access application programming interface or API, so we allow customers and the consulting engineers to access the data directly for those facilities so they can automate their reporting. So they can then bring in reports directly into the weekly, monthly, quarterly, annually reports, ultimately making them more effective and efficient. So if you can automate the reporting process, you save time and engineers can apply their expert knowledge on what they're really good at, which is interpreting the data and putting preventative controls in place.
Okay, that leads me on to my next question. With those types of documents, are alerts possible to say Your permit has expired or is expiring in 6 months' time. You need to start preparing A, B, C documents. Is that technology available?
That's technically possible. It's not what Insiterra does. So so any system should be able to be, you know, that for example, SRK, again, Justin, maybe we have to rewind. But I think from a document management perspective, there are tools and systems out there that can do that type of function.
The reason I ask that is my next question is, how do dashboards improve tailings management? Because as you know, data has to be converted to information and then it's converted into knowledge. And that's why I was saying, is it possible to have a dashboard that covers the whole gamut of not just the stability and the chemistry and the compliance, but also the documents as well? Is that possible?
It is possible. I mean, there are systems out there that do end-to-end document management for that purpose. From an Insiterra perspective, we're about real-time data management and real-time data analytics. So dashboards are a view into the data. What's more important, are you driving automated analysis, trend analysis, picking up issues in instrumentation, in data acquisition networks, alerting the right operational people so they can be proactive and fix any instrumentation issues. At the same time, monitor the data for trends. To Justin's point around safety, is the data trending to, you know, a warning or trigger level? And the dashboards is a view in, but important part is the alerting, notifications, and decision making that can be enabled effectively and efficiently. You know, getting the right information to the operational teams or the engineer record so they can sit around the table and then go into the data, interpret it, and then make decisions.
With regards to dashboard, I'm right in that you can have a bespoke dashboard for every level, from technician to engineer, engineer record. So how do dashboards specifically improve tailings management?
It's really about a hierarchical approach, right? So if an instrumentation is, say, faulty or cable fault or driven over by a bulldozer, that information can go to the operational level, or RTFE, and you can instruct somebody to go and fix and repair. But for engineer record, you can be getting an alert on potential, you know, pond level increases or phreatic surface change, rate of change exceeding a certain level. So they can then, you know, drive a different activity. So it's all around driving understanding the controls and the mitigating actions and automating those processes. So people have really granular response plans. So the RTFE, she or she knows what must be done, or the engineer record can, you know, drive into the granular response plans. And that it speeds up communication and it speeds up time to response.
And of course, those dashboards can be shared anywhere in the world, can't they?
They're online. They can be shared between colleagues and external parties.
Okay. Well, then that leads us into the next question, which is for everybody. And I'll read the question out and then Simone can kick off. We've mentioned a lot of innovation, but my question is, what one innovation have you seen applied, that has made a major difference to the way a TSF is managed? And what do you think is the biggest benefit? Simone, can you think of one?
I think it's just a consequence of us just talking about the dashboards, but actually it is the software systems that have been developed since the introduction of GISTM. There's a requirement in GISTM that I think is sometimes misconstrued for a tailings management system. Some people have interpreted this to be an overall software system that incorporates, as Alistair said, the data management aspects as well as document management aspects. I would say that those systems have been a game changer because, as you said, Kim, having alerts for certain things at certain levels is very effective and very useful, and also having accessibility to all of the data and the documentation across the management. So that also streamlines things, because if you as the EOR want a certain measurement or item of data from the operator like Fraser, traditionally you would have to contact them, you'd have to email, call, whatever. Now you can just access it real time on these systems, and that means that that whole action plan that may be triggered from a certain elevated water level or movement, etc., can be done more efficiently. And efficiency is really what we were lacking in the past, I would think, because of the limitations in communication of certain aspects of the dam. So I would say, out of everything that I've seen come up, especially since the introduction of the GISTM, those systems that integrate the data and the documentation and allow accessibility across the entire management and operational team have been a real game changer.
I fully agree with what Simone was saying. Also, from a consulting perspective, when you've got the system online and it's there, you can access it even if it's outside of working hours or it's on a weekend, you want to check something, or you didn't get the email, can't find the email, whatever the case is. Also, then if someone from the operator side or whoever goes on leave and you don't know who to contact, well, it's all there. It's waiting to go. And like Alistair mentioned earlier, once you've got the data, you can process and really use it for whatever, whether it's presenting it nicely in easy way or going into analyses to whatever the geotechnical part of it. Having said that, though, the advancements in being able to do the geotechnical investigations, getting out there doing it, University of Pretoria has got a mobile lab now. So they drive their truck, and it's either on the tailings dam or next to the tailings dam, and they can test the sample right there and then. So it's not a case of, oh, this sample was taken 3 weeks ago. Where was it stored? Has it dried out? Did it travel in a bumpy road to get there? Was it left outside for a while? Did it get rained on? So to do tests like that right there and then. We've looked at, we're playing around with also with freezing the samples to improve the integrity of the sample. So for me, it comes down to the geotechnical investigations, the lab testing of those samples, and then the modeling that you can do from your very comprehensive, almost real-time data from that.
Thank you. That's a great insight. And Alistair, is there a particular innovation you're interested in, and where have you seen that work?
I think I'd like to step away from the technology and say it's about people. So what I've seen the last 5 years, and I've spent 15 years in oil and gas and monitoring, I think, and there, 20 years ago, safety issues and safety case became really prevalent in oil and gas, and I see the mining industry in the last 5 years is really the behavior change, where there's a lot more knowledge, there's a lot more transparency, there's accountability, and I think that's really the positive and the innovations that's driving from the willingness to change and the behaviors that come with that.
Oh, thank you very much. So I think to sum up, everyone reckons communication and integration and better change management is making a real difference to the industry. So I think I'd like to thank all of you for answering all these questions and for providing very insightful answers to our listeners. And this is a big thank you from the listeners, and we're wrapping up this discussion on tailings. How do we ensure we're doing it right? Thank you very much, everybody.
Thank you for listening. Please note that the facts and opinions expressed are those of the individual and do not reflect the position of SAIM or the corporate institution.
You've been listening to another production from Solid Gold Podcasts.